You've heard it said many times that prayer changes things and prayer changes people. I am a firm believer in that. And certainly this past week has given me more of an understanding of how powerful that is, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. That I've watched God do amazing things even this past week. And thinking about my son, you know, I first thing I did was praise the Lord that his accident was not any more serious than what it was, because he could have been paralyzed from the neck down. He could have been tragic and all the way around. But God has different ways of getting our attention. He's gotten my attention a few times. And I'm sure if we all are honest, he has a way of getting your attention. He got Elijah's attention, as we will look at Elijah here in just a moment. But I want us to think this morning about this whole idea of prayer, that in the power of prayer, the fact is those of us who pray believe in the power of prayer, but we don't fully realize what powerful praying can accomplish. We are a little bit uneducated and maybe unstimulized, if that's a good word, as far as prayer is concerned in that regard. For those who live in obedience to God and experiencing the outworking or the working out of God's will in our lives, a door has been opened. And it's a door that we have partnership with God. It's a door where we can experience God working in changing things, where we can see God working in changing lives. If you have ever experienced a change of life and it has come from God himself, you know what I'm talking about. If you have witnessed other people whose lives have been changed by the power of prayer, you know what I'm talking about. Prayer is not just some loose word that we throw around. I have received, probably a couple of hundred emails and texts in the last few days from people all over saying we're praying for you, saying we are praying for Micah, we're praying for his recovery. And many of them, I have to wonder whether they're really born-again Christians or not. But yet, at the same time, you know, I wonder sometimes if God really does even hear the prayers of those who do not believe. The scriptures to support probably both sides of that argument, but I'm not going to go into that. But I do believe that God does answer prayer. And I believe that it's powerful. I believe that it's life-changing. God wants us to become people of prayer. And if there's anything that the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be engaged in today, more than anything else, is prayer. The prayer meeting has gone down the tube in most churches. And so that tells me that the priority of prayer is just not there. That the priority of prayer is not a reason for coming together when it needs to be. When it has to be not just our second and third and fourth priority, but it needs to be our very first priority in all that we do and all we're about. God will do nothing but an answer to prayer. The great John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, God will do nothing but an answer to prayer. Powerful, specific praying brings powerful, specific results. And I am firmly convinced in that more than anything I have in the past. If anything, this past week has charged my prayer life in many ways. If you've gone through a very troublesome time, if you've gone through an experience that you don't want to go through again, most of the time, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that will be something that will drive you to your knees to pray and to seek God's comfort, to seek God's presence, to seek God's intervention even. There's nothing like prayer. We do give a lot of lip service to prayer, but a very little commitment to prayer. And unfortunately, that has been the downfall of the evangelical church today. Whenever there has been a great revival or a great movement of God in certain corners of the world, there's always been an upsurge in prayer. The great revival, the great Welsh revival, the great revival of Ireland, the second great awakening was all precipitated by prayer in America. And so this morning I'm here to just remind us of things that we already know, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not just a righteous man, but a righteous woman. So, you know, I don't want to be sexist in this, and I believe that the scripture is saying, or including both sexes, that the righteous prayer availeth much. The fervent prayer, the earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, to encouraging both elders and Christians to intercession for those in spiritual weakness, we're reminded in the last part of verse 16 that prayer is effective. The effective prayer of a righteous man can and will accomplish much. When a person living in God's will prays, it is a very powerful working. Because it is God who is behind it. God energizes obedient prayer warriors that will seek to accomplish His will. The effective prayer brings the needed cure, the needed healing, the needed intervention and solution, the needed saving from God Himself. And so, we sometimes shrug prayer off, and we sometimes think, you know, oh yeah, just prayer, we all ought to do it. But I don't think we're taking it as seriously as we should. And that's why I believe that James is here reminding us of how powerful prayer is. It's not just something that was powerful back in his day, in the first century, and in the book of Acts, where we see that the mountains quaked and earthquakes came as a result of people praying, and not just a result of countless thousands of people being saved in one day on the day of Pentecost, but it's been ongoing ever since. And we have a very, unfortunately, in the day that we're living in, that the barometer is very low when it comes to the spiritual temperature of God's people as far as prayer is concerned. There's a story that while crossing the Atlantic on a ship many years ago, Bible teacher and author F.B. Meyer was asked to speak to the passengers. An agnostic who listened to Meyer's message about answered prayer told a friend that was next to him on that ship, "I don't believe a word of it." Later that same day, the agnostic went to hear Meyer speak to another group of passengers. He went for a second dose, if you will. And before he went to the meeting, he put two oranges in his pocket. I don't know if there was any truth to this or not, but back in that day, as people crossed over the Atlantic on ships, there was no fancy communication systems like we have today. But they claim that if you're out on the water and you start getting seasick, that the best thing to do is to eat an orange. And so, I don't know if anybody had ever heard that before. I thought that was quite interesting. But anyway, He put two oranges in his pocket, and on his way, he passed an elderly woman who was out on the deck of the ship, fast asleep, and her arms were wide open. They were outstretched with hands open wide. So as to joke, he put two oranges in the palms of her hands, one on each hand. And after the meeting, he saw the woman, and she was happily eating one of those oranges. "You seem to be enjoying that orange," he said to her. "And yes, sir," she said, "my father is very good to me." And she meant her heavenly father. "What do you mean?" said the agnostic, or asked the agnostic. "Well," she explained, "I have been seasick for days, and I've been asking God to send me oranges. Send me an orange. And I fell asleep while I was here praying with my hands outstretched to God, pleading with God to send me an orange. And when I awoke, I found not just one orange, but two oranges, one in each hand." The agnostic was amazed by the confirmation of what F.B. Meyer's talk was on that earlier in that day about answered prayer. And we're told that later in that journey, he put his faith and he put his trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You see, God gives us what we specifically ask for, or something better. Prayer will be fruitful when it is effective and when it is fervent. And fervency also makes prayer an overwhelming priority and gives earnestness in petitioning and pleading with God to grant the requests that we present to Him and whatever burden is on our hearts. All of us have burdens. Sometimes we carry that burden and we don't know if we can continue to carry it. We don't know how long we can carry it. We wonder whether we have the ability to carry it. But when we give our burdens over to God, it's like Him turning on that green light and saying, "Yes, I'm with you. I promise I'll never leave you. I'll never depart from you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down." That's kind of like what I experienced this past week with my son, Micah. And all through this entire ordeal, there's been this overwhelming assurance that God was going to bring him through and that everything was going to be okay. And, of course, the greatest prayer that I have, and I'd ask you to pray for, is for the salvation of his soul, because very early in his life, Micah made a so-called commitment to Christ, but there was nothing really done with that. And it happened at camp, in fact, Baptist Park. And so God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. That is such a precious verse of Scripture that God has laid upon my heart and has given me hope for whatever entanglements I might find myself in, and for whatever entanglements I might see other people going through, the rough waters, the rough times that they go through, that prayer is God's answer. Prayer is God's remedy. Now, to illustrate the truth that he has just started giving to us in verse 16, James cites the case of Elijah. The story of Elijah is an amazing story. And we see that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. Elijah had the same kinds of ailments, the same kinds of issues. He was just an ordinary, down-to-earth, common folk type person. And James uses him as an illustration to conclude his letter here in James chapter 5. It's an amazing story. I wish I had time to take you back to the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 19. I encourage you to go there and to read it for yourself and to study the life of Elijah. But very briefly, we see that Elijah gives us an amazing illustration of the power of prayer, of the purpose of prayer, of the excitement of prayer, if you will. Elijah was a man just like us in verse 17. And it says he was one of those guys that prayed fervently. He was one of those guys that offered effectual prayers. And he was an illustration in the Old Testament that his prayers availed much. They brought forth great success and great power and great results. And so he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. Well, that seems a little excessive right there, not raining for 3.5 years. But it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then it got so dry that he started to pray that the rain would soon start to come. And so he prayed again. And down comes the rain. He prayed and the heavens opened up. And the heavens opened up and gave great floods of rain. And the earth was nourished. And the people of God were blessed as a result of Elijah's prayers. And so, we see many illustrations and many things here for the life of Elijah. He stood tallest of all the Hebrew prophets, along with Moses and Abraham and David, as the most frequent mentioned individuals in the New Testament. And certainly his reputation went before him as far as being a man of prayer, as a man of fervent prayer, as a man who believed in the power of prayer. Now, he did not have the written Bible as we have, the total Word of God that we have. He relied a lot upon the prophets. He relied upon the writings of the Old Testament. But he believed in the power of prayer because he had experienced it firsthand. And he knew what God could do. And he believed that what God could do in extraordinary situations, in impossible situations, he could do again. And he could make his will known in great and mighty ways. So, his passion for prayer, his passion for looking to God in the midst of his frailties, in the midst of chaos that he saw all around him, in the midst of all the disasters that he had experienced and had seen, his passion for prayer was clear. And he believed that what God could do for others, that he could do for him. And he could do for the world. And he could do in bringing glory and honor to himself. Verse 18 reminds us of Elijah's persistence in prayer. He persisted. And I think that's one of our big problems as Christians. We give up. We give up praying. And we don't follow through. Elijah was persistent. And he says, again he prayed. Again he prayed. He persistently prayed. He prayed and he prayed again. You see, we do have record of this prayer in 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 to 45. On Mount Carmel, Elijah prayed and faith specifically according to the word of God. For God told him, God spoke to Elijah, and God told him that he would bring forth rain. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. You see, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is God, getting God's will done on earth. It is getting God's will done on earth. Elijah prayed that God would fulfill his word. So Elijah, now putting his face between his knees in a position of, of earnestly seeking God. And he prayed. And he prayed according to God's word, God's will, and sent his follower, disciple, to see if there was any rain coming. And six times, we're told in that passage, the individual that Elijah had commissioned to go see if it was raining returned and said he saw nothing. And so that gave Elijah even a greater determination to pray. And so he was persistent. He prayed and he prayed. And the seventh time, it was like a cloud in a hand. Elijah was given the news that rain was coming. And sure enough, rain came. Rain came and flooded the earth and nourished the earth and gave great crops and great produce. See, Elijah was a man who believed that God would keep his word. He believed that God would keep his word. And sometimes I wonder, when we pray, do we really believe that God would keep his word? When I open the word of God, and when I see the promises of God, and by the way, 80% of this book, God's word is filled with promises. Yeah, some people say, well, there's a lot of negative stuff in there too. But there's more promises than anything else. In anything else you could ever read, in anything else you could ever take hold of, God's word is full of promises. Elijah believed the promises of God. Elijah believed that when God told him, he would keep his word. And you and I have to do the same. We have to believe that when God says something, he will keep his word. He will not go back on his word. He is not an Indian giver, as we use that expression. I don't know if that word's even used anymore. And probably that's not a very politically correct statement to make anymore. But God will not go back on his word. God is able. Our God is able. He's able to carry us through. He's able to carry you through. He's able to carry me through. And he is able to do amazing things that we cannot even begin to imagine. Oh, the Bible is just so full, chock full of illustrations like that. And even today, there would be those who would say this and affirm this, believing in the power of fervent, effectual prayer. So I want to encourage you today to not give up, as is the matter of some, but to keep believing, to keep trusting, that no matter how things may look, no matter how bleak things may become, that God is full of unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. We must believe. We must believe. We must believe in the power of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks today for your word and for your promises. That every word in this holy book is true. Lord, that we are but the recipients of your divine grace and mercy. That you have given us the privilege, Lord, of knowing and experiencing for ourselves what fervent and earnest prayer and the blessings of that is all about. And so, Father, even this day, I pray that you would give us all a deepened prayer walk with you, a commitment to prayer. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to think that this is one more thing we need to add to our daily activity. But Lord, help us to think seriously that prayer is what delights the heart of the Father. And Lord, it changes things. It changes people. And Lord, we ask that you would give us a burden to pray for people, to pray for each other. And when one is down, your word tells us that we're all to be there. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us a heart for that. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to know that you will answer prayer in accordance with your will. So, Lord, let us be walking in your will, in the center of your will, walking obediently to your word, and living faithfully as you lead us through your Spirit. And we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to close this.